If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me this morning to the book of Genesis, chapter 28, verse 4. Put your finger there and turn to the book of Galatians, chapter 3, verse 14. Amen. Believe in God to touch this morning and minister to us. Amen. Glory. We are coming up on the holiday season, Thanksgiving, and immediately following that, Christmas and New Year's. And so I know there's a lot of things going to be happening. My year started this week when they started playing Christmas songs on the radio. My wife gets mad because every time she gets in the car, that's all you're going to hear between now and Christmas. And then after they quit playing them on the radio, I play CDs for another week or so just for... Glory. I do Christmas in July sometimes. I get my CDs out and just ride down the road listening to them. Amen. But we're believing God to touch today. Genesis chapter 28, verse 4. And give thee the blessing of Abraham to thee and thy seed with thee, that thou mayest inherit the land wherein thou art a stranger, which God gave unto Abraham. In the book of Galatians, chapter 3, verse 14, that the blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentile through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Amen. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you today, God, for your word. We ask, God, that you would reach down and touch this house, Lord, with the power, the grace, the glory of your Holy Ghost. Father, minister to us, and God, help us, Lord, to sit in heavenly places with you this morning and receive from you, for it is in Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Praise God. I want to talk to you this morning about the blessing of Abraham. We are now ready recipients of the blessing of Abraham because Christ died for us to bring us into the covenant. Amen. Because Christ died, we have a right to the covenant that was made with Abraham. And so, therefore, the Bible tells in Ephesians chapter 1, to the praise and glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of his grace. Amen. We're now part of the family. Amen. I don't know if y'all understand that or not, but I'll never forget when I was a child. And since we're coming up on the anniversary of the death of John Kennedy, I was thinking about it this week. And I remember when he was doing one of his Oval Office press conferences. And he's sitting there and all of a sudden his son comes crawling in, little four-year-old, crawls up in his lap, gets a piece of paper, starts drawing on it while he's talking to the United States on national television. Now, if you hear the rest of that story, you find out when that little boy got to the door, one of the security guards told him, said, son, you can't go in. Your daddy is giving a press conference. He looked at him. He said, my daddy's your boss. He owns this place, and I'm going through that door. And he said, I stepped out of the way and let him through. He said, I figured daddy can take care of him because he was a son. And notice what the Bible tells us now, Romans chapter 2, verse 28, for he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is a circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and whose circumcision is that of the heart and in the spirit and not of the letter, whose praises are not of men but of God. Amen. You say, well, that's great, preacher. That put me in the family? No, but Romans chapter 8 does. In the 13th verse, for ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father, or my Father, which art in heaven. Hallelujah. Amen. So you see, we are now part of the body of Christ and so ready to receive the promise of Abraham because the writer of Galatians said we've got the promise through the blessing of Jesus Christ. Could you say amen? What is the promise of Abraham? Land, blessings of God, adoption, anointing. Let's see what the scripture has to say about it. Genesis chapter 14. And Melchizedek, the king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abraham, the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand, and he hath gave him tithes of all. Amen. So all of a sudden, Abraham is going to be blessed. Now you got to get the story. These five kings come down and attack the area where Abraham's nephew lived, Lot, and they take him prisoner. And Abraham decides God wants him to go get Lot out of prison and out from these kings who had these armies filled up with great warriors. And guess what? He loads up his people. Abraham doesn't have an army. He's got plowmen. He's got storekeepers. He's got folks. Can you imagine this? He gets him an army of 300 or so men or something to that effect. I just guessed that number. But he gets his army up and he heads over to fight against them, and they got brooms and plowshares and hoes, and they go in to fight against spears and swords and shields. And guess what? The Bible said God delivered them into Abraham and his men's hands. And he defeats them and sets Lot free. Amen. He comes back, and the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah and different ones tell him, say, look, why don't you take what you want, and then we'll take the rest. And Abraham said, I don't want none of it, because I don't want you or anybody else to say you blessed me. I want you to understand everything I have cometh from the Lord. I don't need this stuff. You can have it. Glory. But in the meantime, Melchizedek shows up and said, now I'm going to give you a blessing. He said, that blessing is your enemies are going to be laid in your hands. And I want to tell you something, the church, I believe the blessing of Abraham that comes to us is that no matter what happens, if we are faithful to God, eventually all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord. And no matter who you are, amen, no matter what has come against you, if you hang on to God, God's going to deliver your enemies into your hand. Could you say amen? Whoa. Glory. We look for the promise of Abraham. We find the three aspects of it. And I want to use the life of David to kind of chronicle the way this works. First of all, I believe that the promise of Abraham is an uplifting promise. Amen. Psalms 31, I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up and hath made my toes to rejoice over thee, my foes to rejoice over thee. Amen. Sorry about that. I can't read my own typing. Glory. Actually, there's a spot on there, and it covered up part of that F. It made it look like toes. But, hey, you say, preacher, you can't prove that. Oh, yeah, I can. The Bible said I shall put Satan under your feet shortly, so my toes will be rejoicing in God while I'm stomping on his head. Come on, church. Amen. Y'all didn't think I had Bible for that. I messed up, still got out of it. Glory. Amen. Psalms 139, if I take up the wings of the morning and I dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, even shall thy hand lead me and thy right hand shall hold me up. David was lifted up. He went from shepherd to king, from a simple man to a warrior. Amen. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? This guy's just a little shepherd boy, not doing a whole lot. God gets a hold of him and suddenly he's king. Amen. A guy never trained to be a warrior becomes one great warrior, a great military leader. Why? Because he had the anointing of God that got in his life and made him who he was. Glory. He was given his enemies when the lion and the bear came against him in the wilderness. When Saul tried to kill him with a spear, God kept the spear from hitting him. I have a book I read. I got a writer, he's Church of Christ, named Gene Edwards. He's a great writer. He wrote a book years ago called The Tale of Three Kings. And it's just each chapter is a little sermon. And in one of those chapters, it said David never got hit by the spears of Saul because he never got in a spear chunking contest with Saul. Hello? You ever notice you get in a mud slinging contest, everybody ends up with mud on them. But if you don't get in a ditch, you ain't got to worry about wallowing in the mud. Oh, that's good preaching. God kept him from the spear of Saul. He lifted him up in the eyes of the people. I mean, here's little old David. He's not really known that well around the area. Most people refer to him as Jesse's son. Next thing you know, he kills Goliath because God lifts him up. And next thing you know, they're singing songs. David has killed his 10,000 while Saul has killed his thousands. And we're running along listening to these people sing about David, and all of a sudden his popularity just goes off the scale. You say, what are you talking about? God lifting him up and God gave him a place. But now notice this, it's also a promise of possession. Amen. Genesis 28. And he give the blessing of Abraham to thee and to thy seed with thee. And thou mayest inherit the land wherein thou art a stranger, which God gave unto Abraham. And Isaac sent away Jacob. And he went to Padan Aram unto Laban, unto the house of Bethuel. In Syria, the brother of Rebekah, Jacob and Esau's mother. So all of a sudden, God turns around and he said, I'm going to give you possession. Isaac is blessing Jacob, and he said, now, God, I'm going to pass to you the blessing of Abraham. What that means is from now on, you're going to be blessed. Amen. How many of you understands that when you get blessed of God, everything changes? He said, now, I don't want you to marry anybody here. Go back to where your mama's family is and pick you out a woman and marry them. Glory. Now, church, if this guy can get blessed, anybody can get blessed. Jacob, translated, supplanter, liar, deceiver. I mean, this guy was so dumb, he picked out a woman to marry, worked 7 years to get her, and married the wrong woman. It's in your book. He had to work another 7 years to get the one he wanted. But the whole time God was blessing him, his herds were growing, his number of people working for him was growing, his family was growing. Amen. And the next thing you know, God puts him in there and begins to bless him. Amen. You say, well, preacher, you've left David. In David's life, he was allowed to take the kingdom of Israel and to unite it into one nation. It became one and the richest and strongest nations of the world. Amen. So David had possessions. Listen, Psalms 37 said it this way. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and they shall wither like the green herb. But he said, trust in the Lord, do good, and thou shalt dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give thee desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And it shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. But rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prosper in his way. You know what he said? Said, if I quit worrying about everybody else and just get my mind on God, God's going to lift me up. God's going to take me. Come on, church. Oh, preacher, you're crazy. No. My Bible said, cast yourself on the Lord. What's God going to do? He will lift you up and will allow you to possess the things he's promised you. Luke 6:38. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For the same measure that ye meet with all, it shall be measured unto you. If you serve God and you're faithful to him, God finds all kind of ways to get people to feed you. Lord, take care of you. I still like the story of the little old lady down in Louisiana. She prayed all the time for God to bless her family. Her husband had died, and she was raising her kids, didn't have enough money to get by hardly. Old man next door, he was an atheist, hated her because she prayed all the time, messed up his day because he'd have to listen to her. Oh, now, we don't got folks like that, but when I was in Buell, we had people get in a well house, and you could hear them praying in the well house. They didn't care who knew they were in that well house. Hello? And this little old lady said, I prayed one morning. She said, oh, God, I got to have some help. We out of groceries, God. I got to have some help. So the old guy next door went and bought groceries. He set them on the front porch. Knocked on the door, run here behind a bush. And she came out. She said, oh, thank you, God. And she started grabbing them groceries, towed them in the house. He come running out behind that bush. He said, God didn't buy those groceries. I did. She said, thank God he provided my groceries and had a heathen pay for them. Glory. Well, preacher, that only happens in stories. You know, it's amazing. Last Monday, I had a great day. I went to the doctor. He told me I was okay. He wasn't a mental doctor, but, you know. But he told me I was all right. Didn't have to come back for 6 months. While I was sitting at the office, I got to hear that lady's testimony. Then I left there and went and meet a preacher. He won't take me to lunch. Found out later he was wanting to thank me for helping him with his income tax because I saved him nearly $10,000 by showing him some stuff he could do to cut his income tax. And he told me, he said, I just wanted to buy you lunch. I'd known that, I went to a more expensive restaurant. But we got there at the restaurant, and we're sitting there getting ready to eat, and the waiter come out, and he comes up, and he said, "Oh, Brother Stroot." And he grabs me and hugs me up, said, "Oh, I haven't seen you. Well, how you doing?" And I'm telling him. He turned, he says, "Oh, hey, you, man." He shook his hand. I don't know if he knew the other preacher or not, but he shook his hand, was nice to him. We get through eating, and the guy come out, and he said, "How's the ticket?" And I told him, I said, "Well, just give it to somebody." And the other guy said, "I got it, I'm paying it." And he gives him the ticket, and he opens up the little book that's in. He puts some money in there and laid it down on the table. A few minutes, the manager comes by, big black guy. He opens it up, takes the money out, hands it to him, pulls the ticket out, sticks it in his pocket. He said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I take care of it." He said, "You don't have to do that. I'm buying this guy's meal." He said, "Not today. I heard him preach at the camp meeting over in Pickens County, and he blessed me, and I'm going to bless him today, and you just get in on it." Glory. He, man, I got up, and I said, "Man, I got a double blessing." He said, "Why?" I said, "You still owe me lunch." Glory. Come on, church. That's the way God operates. Smile. Some of y'all miss that. Glory. But you see, church, we need to understand God is going to bless us. That we begin to follow him and serve him. Not only will he bless us, but he'll cause other people to bless us. Amen. The blessing of Abraham passed on through the family also had to do with God becoming the possessor of us. Genesis 32:28. And he said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob." Remember I told you he was a liar, supplanter? All of a sudden he has a transformation one night. God took possession of him. And he said, "From now on you're Israel. From now on you're a prince of God. From now on I'll fight your battles. From now on I'll provide for you. Now on I'll take care of you." And you say, "Well, preacher, how good is he at that?" He took one of his sons, put him into slavery, sold him over to a man's house, ended up in prison, finally became the second ruler of the greatest nation in the world. Why? Because he was over all the food just about time a drought hit, so he could take care of his daddy, who God made a promise to, "I'm going to take care of you." And when God takes possession of you, you've got a right to believe, because I am his and he is mine. Everything's going to be all right. Could you say hallelujah? Psalms chapter 2 verse 7, "I will declare a decree. The Lord has said unto me, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen of thine the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost part of the earth is thy possession." Amen. Notice this. John says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." Well, you know, Lord, when I get to heaven, I'm going to be your child. That's not what John said. 1 John 3, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the word knoweth us not, because it knew him not. But, beloved, now we are the sons of God." It's not going to be over yonder somewhere, but right now, under the blood of Calvary, I am a child of the King. I am possessed by the Lord. I am full of the power, the anointing of his Holy Ghost. He said, "Beloved, now we are the sons of God, but it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him." Could you? Hallelujah. But now notice this. This promise is also a promise of dominion. Psalms 8 and 4. "What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hand. Thou hast put all things under his feet." Amen. David, the little shepherd boy, God gave him dominion over his enemies. A lion came against his flock, and he killed the lion. Bear came against him, he killed the bear. We're not talking about anybody who's trained to fight. He's not a trained hunter. He's just keeping his sheep, doing his thing. His brothers are all in the military. They're trained warriors. They're down there fighting a war. Dad sends him to the war with food. I mean, he's not down there to fight. He's bringing lunch. And he shows up. And there's a guy down the valley that, depending on what measurements you want to use, is somewhere between 9.5 to 12 foot tall. We ain't talking about no midget. This dude down there, big. I mean, let's face it, Saul, according to some measurements, was over 7 foot tall, but Saul didn't want to fool with this dude. He's over in his tent behind the hill, and Saul is listening like everybody else when this guy gets down there every day and defies them and dares them to come out and fight him. And nobody will go. David shows up, and he gets irritated because that guy's talking about his God. You know, he's sitting there defying the army of Israel, and David's laughing with him. He said, yeah, they're all hiding. Guys, he's making fun of y'all, but y'all deserve it. And about that time he said, I defy the God of Israel. David said, guys, y'all get through, put that stuff back on the wagon. I'm finna go down and take care of some business. He's talking about God now, and he ain't gonna do that while I'm here. Glory. Come on, church. Church, when's the last time some of y'all got in somebody's face because they talked about your God? Oh, and now, Brother Street, you don't do that. Why? Any of y'all know Perry Stone? He was at a Super Bowl one year. He got a guy with him. Everybody knows he's a missionary, but everybody calls him Crazy Rusty because he makes me look sane. And the guy in front of him is cussing, and he keeps using the Lord's name in vain. And he's popping pills. And Perry said, Rusty looked at him and said, that dude's popping Quaaludes right here in the middle of the game. I've had enough of this. So at about that time, New England done something and said, Rusty jumps up and just took his hand and starts slapping the guy in the head going, hey, hey, hey. I said, the guy looked over at his buddy. He said, I got a headache. I'm going to have to go outside. So the guy got up and left. Said, Rusty looked at Perry. He said, don't talk about my daddy. No matter how naive you are about it, I'll hit you. You talk about my daddy. Glory. Amen. Glory. Come on, church. Smile. I didn't do it. He did it. Glory. David starts talking about what he's going to do, and Saul's kind of enamored by it. So he brings him in. And he says, so you think you can whoop that champion? A man that's trained all his life. He is proficient in every military art of killing folks you can think of. By being champion, he the best they got. He fight with swords. He fight with little knives. He throw a javelin several hundred yards and spear somebody with it. He's got a big old spear that's the size of a weaver's beam. He's so bad, he's got some other dude toting his shield. Because he got so much stuff to kill folks, he can't tote his own shield till he needs it. Come on, church, read your Bible. David said, look, there was a bear came against me, a lion came against me. God put them in my hand. He'll help me. Saul says, well, put on the armor. Let's see what it looks like. Can you imagine what Saul's armor looked like on David? I mean, you know. I mean, David's not that big. Saul's armor's hanging off of him, probably weighting him down. He ain't used to this stuff. Finally, look, he said, I hadn't proved this, but I proved this. He holds up that sling, and David said, and God's going to help me, but just turn me loose. I'm going to take care of business. He goes down there, and he took his stick with him because he carried a staff just like every young Jewish boy carries. And, you know, God made Goliath make a bad choice. Hello? So he said, what are you talking about? Poor choices get you whooped every time. Because he looks at David and said, am I a dog that you'd come out against me with a stave, properly sticks? He saw that staff. And he said, he's going to fight me with a stick. He don't see the sling. So he makes his choice. Instead of a javelin, he could have speared him with from where he was. He pulls his sword, gets ready for this kid. I said, I'm going to cut you up, feed you to the fowls of the air. David said, this day, God's going to deliver you into my hand, and everybody here is going to know there's a God in Israel. And he reaches in and pulls that sling out, and he starts whooping. Now, look at this. He don't stand there and wait. He runs at the dude, flips that rock. It pops him right between the eyes, knocks him out. David takes his own sword, cuts his head off. Oh, it don't stop there. Get this picture. You got David picking up the head of a dude that's 9 to 12 foot tall. That's a big old head. And he grabs it by that old mangy hair and said, He starts shining at everybody on the hill. And they get running, and the Israelites go after them and just wipe them out. Now, David wasn't concerned with the battle anymore. He done what he came to do. He shut up the dude making fun of his God. But then the Bible said he done something. He took the head of Goliath to Jerusalem. Only it wasn't Jerusalem yet. It was called Jebus, later be called the city of Zion. And the people that lived there, the Jebusites, when they killed people, would collect heads. And he went back to show them his head. He was like, my head bigger than y'all's, dude. It's all I can do to tote this thing. Amen. You know what he said? He said, one day I'm going to hold this place. You say, preacher, you can't prove that. Tell me why, as soon as he became king, got his military together, he went to the city of Zion, a city that had never been taken, lined his men up in the field, looked at him and said, the first man that could take that city, I'll make you the captain of the host. Amen. They were so confident, they said, even if we are just invalids, you couldn't take this mountain. And you know what? God took the city of Zion. He back gave it to David. They started to call it the city of David. He said, oh, no, we're not going to call it the city of David. We're going to call it what it's going to be. I got this because God put it in my heart to come here and take this land. It's part of the possession of my father Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and I want it for them. We're going to call it what Abraham called it, the place of provision, Jeruel. And we're going to call it what it was when Melchizedek that ruled here, and they called it Shalem, and it'll be Jerusalem, the provider of peace for the whole world. And I brought it here to let the devil know you are not got it anymore. Victory is coming right here. And we now have the blessings of Abraham because of the fulfillment of what David started when he took that head there and said, this is going to be God's place. Peace is going to come from here. And now everybody that will believe in what happened on that hill when Jesus died for you can have everlasting life and the promise of the blessing of Abraham that your enemy will be come on, church. Glory. Well, you just don't know the trouble I'm in. I don't have to. I know the God that I'm talking about. Glory. Well, you don't know what I'm doing. Don't have to. I know the God that can break whatever you're doing and set you free. Whew. Come on, church. Oh, now, preacher, you got to be in my shoes. Don't have to be. I know whose shoes I follow. Glory. Come on, church. You ever notice how many people come out of drugs and alcohol and turn into preachers? It's amazing. The little lady was here a couple of weeks ago, give her testimony how she got off of meth and heroin, and now she's working with that family doing ministry. Amen. The youth pastor at the sanctuary, who used to be one of the biggest drug addicts, he was, got saved, and his life got turned around. Him and his wife now in church, and they're working in the church. Got a guy running Celebrate Recovery over there that did the same thing. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? I'm telling you, there's a God that doesn't care what your addiction is. He don't care what battle you're fighting. If you'll sell out to him, you can then have the blessing of Abraham in your life, and your enemy, your problems, your troubles, your addictions are going to be placed into your hand, and it's going to be under your control to overcome through the power of Jesus Christ. Could you stand with me all over the house? Father, we thank you today for your love, your mercy, your power, for your grace. God, I believe you today to minister in this house. Let your glory come and move today like never before. Father, we believe you for your presence to move in Jesus' precious name. God, we magnify you.